Believer's Bible Assembly is pleased to welcome you this morning to our teaching series called Searching the Scriptures. It is our prayer that many will tune in to hear this teaching from God's Word, and the Lord will open many hearts to an understanding of His Word and to His wonderful salvation. If you are enjoying and benefiting from this program, then please inform your family and friends to also listen in each week to this broadcast. At the end of the program, I will provide phone numbers for you to contact us so that you may comment or ask questions about what you have heard or if you would like some more information about our church. Now let us begin today's broadcast with some music that will help prepare our hearts for hearing God's Word. If you have a Bible handy, you may want to open and follow along with today's scripture reading. We will be reading from
James chapter 1. James, a bondservant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greetings. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Let the lowly brother glory in his exaltation, but the rich in his humiliation, because, as a flower of the field, he will pass away. For no sooner has the sun risen with a burning heat than it withers the grass, its flower falls, and its beautiful appearance perishes. So the rich man also will fade away in his pursuits. Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then, when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of firstfruits of his creatures. So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. If anyone among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble, and to keep oneself unspotted from the world.
Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness, superfluity of naughtiness, and receive the meekness, the engrafted word, which is able to save your soul. look, we think you've got perfect law. Liberty and continueth therein, being not a forgetful doer, hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed.
Lesson 218, The Man of Faith. In our last lesson, we finished our study of the book of Hebrews, where we learned how much better the new covenant is when compared to the old covenant, and why Christians should remain faithful to the Lord, since apostasy would bring disastrous results. Today we begin the beautiful little book of James, which will teach us about practical wisdom in the Christian life. James is one of the earliest writings of the New Testament, and it is commonly accepted that the author was one of Jesus' brothers who had gained recognition in the early days of the church. James is designed in a similar way to Proverbs, though not in poetic form, since James presents short statements as wisdom for the Christian life. Sometimes these sayings do not appear to follow any particular order or natural flow in the text, but run together as a stream of counsel to help believers behave in a manner that is consistent with their faith. In the first chapter, James makes several references to the man of faith, which can be applied to any Christian. The letter is addressed to Jewish tribes, which were scattered throughout the world. Hebrews also focused on Jewish converts to Christianity, since in the early church, most believers were of a Jewish background. He addresses the audience as brethren and says they should count it joy when they fall into various trials. The reason for the joy is not the trial itself, but what the trial can produce in our Christian character, namely patience. Patience is an important Christian virtue and the first attribute of love. Patience, as it develops in our character, makes us grow toward maturity. The brother of low degree should rejoice not because of his poverty or because of his lack of standing in society, but rather because God exalts him. God cares for the poor or struggling brother and answers his faith with good things. Those who are rich so often do not care about others, and so God will bring them lower. Riches fade away, but a person who hopes in Christ will have eternal wealth. Then there is the man who endures temptation. When he passes the test and resists the temptation, he is proving that he has been given power through the Holy Spirit to live godly. His faith is revealed by his ability to withstand temptation, proving his justification and possession of eternal life. This man is rewarded with a crown of life. Temptations are not from God, but he allows them for our good. God does not tempt us to do evil, but when we are tempted, he looks for how we will respond. There is an important truth revealed here concerning why men sin. He points out that temptations come from within man, when his lust draws him towards sin. When lust is acted upon, it produces sin, and sin will only lead towards destruction. Knowing how sin begins with lust should help us to deal with sinful habits by ensuring that we do not allow the temptation to even be near to us. It only takes a look to begin the process which leads to sin and death. This is certainly the case with the story of David looking on Bathsheba when she was bathing. God is good and gives life through his word to those who have placed their trust in Jesus. The Jewish Christians of the first century were like first fruits that promised a great harvest of souls for God. When God gives, he does so according to his perfect and unchangeable character, such that he will also supply us with what is the very best for our eternal good. We often hear people say, God is good all the time, which is accurate and precisely what James teaches here in this chapter. As believers, we must respond to God's goodness by a willingness to listen and not allow anger to control our conduct. Anger does not generally lead us to act in a way that agrees with God's character. It is possible to be angry with what God is angry with, but in most cases our anger is motivated by pride, selfishness, or other character weaknesses. We should control our temper and remove all bad behavior that comes out of our lives to hurt others. As we allow God's word to be deeply planted within our hearts, it brings salvation, not just from the penalty of our sin, but also from the power of sin to control us. The word of God is important in the life of the believer. It is a book to be understood and obeyed. We don't want to be like someone who looks at his faults in the mirror, but does nothing to correct his appearance. As we learn from God's Word what needs changing in us, such as lust, greed, pride, selfishness, or laziness, we are to allow God's Word to correct us. We are to read and study God's Word for this very purpose. As we daily put it into practice, we shall find a life of God's blessings, which is what we all desire. The Word of God is here called the perfect law of liberty, because God's laws were not intended to bring us into bondage, but provide us the wonderful liberty of a conscience at peace with God through faith and obedience that pleases God. Another saying of wisdom James provides has to do with religious hypocrites. They may call themselves a Christian, but when you hear them talk, you will notice they have no control or restraint, using the same filthy talk and attitudes of the world. Such a person is only deceiving themselves, and their religion is useless. True Christianity is made evident by godly conduct and wholesome thoughts and words. The final wisdom offered to the man of faith is given in contrast to the religious hypocrite. This is to offer help to the widows and orphans. Those who have no means of support are of special interest to the compassion and care of the Almighty. When we join His heart of kindness in helping these needy people, then we have what is called pure and undefiled religion. That means our Christianity is authentic and pleasing to the Lord. Can you see evidence of authentic Christianity in your own good works, by which you show care towards others in need? Make sure you are not just a religious hypocrite, but a genuine man or woman of faith. You may know the Bible, but you also must practice what it teaches. Today, if you need God's salvation, then take this opportunity to confess your sinful condition to God and ask for His forgiveness and the gift of eternal life. Of His own will, He brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of His creatures. James chapter 1, verse 18.
Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. And comes down from the Father of lights. And comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow. With whom there is no variation or shadow, or shadow of turning.
And now for today's Bible question. In today's lesson, we learned wisdom for the man of faith. The Christian should grow in patience, display humility, endure temptations, control his temper, purge bad behavior, using the word to correct faults. We are to be sincere in our faith by caring for the needy. Someone might ask the question, what does it mean to keep oneself unspotted from the world? The last instruction of wisdom for chapter 1 includes the note that we should keep ourselves unspotted from the world if we want to have a religion that is pure and undefiled. It is nice to offer Christian love and charity to those less fortunate than ourselves, but even that will not provide a perfect Christian testimony. To act as Christ not only involves our positive works that agree with His heart of kindness and compassion, it also agrees with His character of justice and holiness. We must ensure that our conduct is not tainted with the rebellion and sinful ways of the world. Those forces which rejected and crucified Jesus are still very much at work in our world today. This might not be easily discerned on the surface, but looking deeper, we realize the devil's devices to draw us away from Christ and to the trappings of this world. The world is where we live, but I am not speaking of the created world which God has made, but the world which man has made for himself. This is a world which does not acknowledge God nor submit to God's rule and righteousness. This we see everywhere we go. The world is generally run on the principles of greed and self-pleasure. These motivate most people in their pursuits, whether education, career, or self-advancement. We have created a world in which we may run after all those things in life which give us what we desire, and we can do this without answering to God. This allows the sin nature to have its full freedom of expression, so that almost anything is permitted. Of course, there must always be some levels of restraint in the world, like laws and policies to govern our conduct, for we all recognize that we need to get along in this world and respect each other's rights. However, the more that society gives way to the desires within man, which are corrupted by sin, the more we see how the world is a place filled with pain, sorrow, hate, and selfishness. Into this world that is full of rebellion and hatred towards God, we find ourselves, and so often we can become caught away with its attractions and influences. This world promotes the glory of man. We see how men run after fame, money, lust, pleasure, and power, but not for the good of others, because of a love of self. By focusing so much on ourself, we are thereby showing that we do not love and care about others. This heart of selfishness is the character of our world. The Christian who has been given a new heart is to separate himself from the world's ways. Let us think of some practical examples that will help us to understand and apply this point. Let's think of a Christian man in his workplace where all the others are stealing from the company. They pressure the Christian to do the same because they don't want him to reveal their conduct to the boss. If the Christian refuses, he will be persecuted by his fellow workers, even if he has not done anything against them. He has been true to his Christianity and remained unspotted from the world. Let's also think of a Christian woman who wants to wear the latest fashion clothing to a party she has been invited to attend. She feels the pressure of her peers to keep up a good image, even though the clothing is beyond her family's budget to afford, and speaks of covetousness and self-glory. As she gives way to the fashions of the world that exalts self and glory in man, she is becoming spotted or corrupted by the world. The godly woman would be content not to be extravagant, knowing that her beauty, as God sees it, is within, as seen in a gentle and meek spirit. There are many examples we could think of, but perhaps it would help us to set standards by which to judge whether the world is corrupting us or not. Number one, we should ask if the activity brings glory to man or to God. Number two, we should also ask, does this thing give honor to God by acknowledging and obeying His word? Number three, we might also consider if this behavior will be helpful or hurtful to fellow Christians. Four, we should consider whether Jesus would be happy sitting beside us as we participate in it. Number five, we can ask if this activity is something that allows me to freely share the gospel with others or not. When we give ourselves to these kind of standards for our conduct in the world, it will help us as Christians to avoid things which do not honor our Lord. The world is full of sin and corruption, and it will take a real positive effort on the part of every Christian to fight the temptation to go with the flow of society rather than to take a stand apart from others. May God grant us strength to live Christian lives that remain unspotted from the world. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. 1 John Chapter 2, verse 15. Just before we conclude today's broadcast, we want our listeners to be aware of our Emmaus Bible courses that we are making available. These courses are from Emmaus Bible College in the USA. There are 12 courses in the first series and also 12 in the second series. These courses begin with the basic teachings of Christianity and move on to more advanced doctrinal studies in subjects such as biblical marriage, the New Testament church, and evangelism. If you should be interested in becoming a student of these courses, or feel that you could use these materials to help others grow in their Christian walk, then please feel free to contact us and we will provide the information needed to get you started. You may phone Shadrach in Kumasi at 024-442-1948, or if you have access to the internet, please visit our website at www.BibleAssemblyChurch.com, where you will find details about the Emmaus courses and a student registration form that you can download and use to register as an Emmaus student. If you want to become a true born-again Christian, here is what you must do. 1. Admit that you are a sinner. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." 2. Realize that God hates your sin and must judge it. Romans 6:23 says, "The wages of sin is death," and this means eternal separation from God. 3. Realize that God loves you and does not want you to perish. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." 4. Realize that Jesus paid your debt of sin for you. 1 Peter 3:18 says, "For Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit." 5. Accept God's free gift of eternal life by faith. John chapter 1, verse 12 says, "But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God, to those who believe in his name." And also in Romans chapter 10, verse 9, it says, "That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved." And number 6, also be assured that your salvation is through Christ alone and not your works. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9 say, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." If you would like to receive God's free gift of eternal life right now, you may by a simple prayer made to God in faith. You could pray like this: "Dear Lord Jesus, I know that I am a sinner and that I deserve God's judgment. I do not want to have to face that judgment, but I want to be saved and go to heaven. So please forgive me of my sins and come into my life now to be my Lord and Savior. Thank you for dying for my sins, and I thank you for the free gift of eternal life." If you have prayed this and believed with all your heart in Jesus as your Savior, then the Word of God assures you that you have been saved. It is not based on how you feel, but on your trust in the Lord Jesus.
Take and seal it, seal it for thy courts above.
Thank you for listening to today's lesson. If you have any questions or comments for us, or you would like more information about God's way of salvation or about our church, then please contact us. You may call Daniel at 024-325-1081, or if you prefer to speak Chi, then you may call Shadrach at 024-442-1948. Again, those numbers are Daniel at 024-325-1081, or for Chi, call Shadrach at 024-442-1948. The Believer's Bible Assembly is a non-denominational church believing and practicing the teachings of the New Testament. Please tune in to this broadcast each Sunday morning at this time. Until next time, may the Lord bless you.
You are the source of my strength. You are the strength of my heart. You are the truth and the way. You are the light in the dark. You are the hope of the earth. You are the bright morning star, O God. One thing I know, you are good. You are the Father of light. You are the author of love. You set the rhythms of time. Stretch the heavens above. Your thunder rolls in the evening sky. Your glory shines in the morning light. Oh God, one thing I know. Every good gift flows from your heart, from the Father of the heavenly lights. You don't change like shifting shadows. Your light shines and my heart glows. And every good gift is from your heart, from the Father of the heavenly lights. You don't change like shifting shadows. Your light shines and my heart glows. You are the Father of light. You are the author of love. You set the rhythms of time, and you stretch the heavens above. The thunder rolls in the evening sky. Glory shines in the morning light, oh God. One thing I know, you are good. One thing I know, oh, you are good. One thing I know, every good gift flows from your heart, from the Father of the heavenly lights. Change like shifting shadows. Your light shines and my heart glows. And every good gift is from your heart, from the Father of the heavenly lights. You don't change like shifting shadows. Your light shines and my heart glows. And mercy, provision, healing, compassion, freedom, redemption. Your light shines and my heart glows. In mercy, provision, healing, compassion, freedom, redemption. Oh, your light shines and my heart glows. In mercy, provision, healing, compassion, freedom, redemption. Oh, your light shines.